This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Diehards here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Hanging out tonight from NBC 10 Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. He's got more jobs than I do. Tim McCone. Hey, I'm looking for a pool guy. You got any
showers? I'll tell you what I need. I'm excited to be back. It's been a while. I'm pumped.
I didn't think you liked me anymore, man.
Playing hard to get. I told you that. Yeah.
I know you're single, but I mean, that's not what I mean.
Yeah, I'm working on my moves with you, and then we'll move to the bars once things open up. Yeah.
Hey, things seem to be open up in Massachusetts today. We got some news that come August 1st, which is a little ways away, things will be back to fully normal. But maybe 50% normal in the next couple of months. So capacity 50% at most things, and seems like, hey, we're alive again.
Right, and it sounds like you're going to have a full Gillette Stadium this year. Now, are you going to be able to watch a real NFL quarterback at Gillette Stadium? We'll have to wait and see on that, but exciting nonetheless.
Hey, man, you fired up for this NFL draft Thursday night?
I love it. I nerd out on all drafts. NBA draft is probably my favorite day of the year, and the NFL draft is right behind it. I think these are two really, really exciting nights.
What is your draft, deal? What do you do? Do you bunker down in your draft room with your dry erase board? What do you do?
I'll tell you what. For the NBA draft, I absolutely do. I got the big board, the whole thing. I'm a dork with it. And with the NFL draft, I'll be at Gillette Stadium with NBC 10 tomorrow, following the picks and screaming at the TV when the Patriots trade down.
So what does that day consist of? I mean, obviously a lot of makeup as usual.
Yes, exactly. Heavy on the makeup. Yeah, you're 100% right. Yep. Heavy on the makeup, and then you're just waiting for Belichick to come out and kind of explain again why he decided to trade down and trade his first round pick for, two twos and a 2024 fourth round.
That's what you're expecting.
That's what I'm expecting.
Right.
Exactly.
We got a lot of NFL talk on the program tonight. Learfield, IMG, Scott Mutual will join us in the program. From Yahoo Sports, NFL draft expert, longtime friend of the show, Eric Edholm will join us. We'll be joined by the sports professor himself, Rick Horro. Get the latest and greatest from Rick. Coming up next from the NFL Network, again, a good friend of the show, Mike Giardi, joins the Diehards next. Keep it right here. It's the SportsMap Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
My friend tonight is Tim McCone from NBC 10 Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got Jackson running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. I saw you moving over there to Bell Biv DeVoe and Poison. I saw you moving. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. He's a big Bell Biv DeVoe fan from the NFL Network, Mike Giardi. Mike, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you, buddy?
What's up, gentlemen?
What's a good word? I mean, obviously, it's draft week. This is like Christmas week for you, is it not?
It's bananas. I'll tell you what, this one has been, in particular, I feel like it's been a little crazier because at least close to home, obviously, the Patriots don't normally pick this high. And with all the rumors about quarterbacks and you got the five guys probably certainly going in the first round, it's like, just get me to Thursday, will you?
Mike, you know this team better than anybody. You've been covering them for over two decades. You know Bill Belichick. You know the organization. You know the struggles they went through last year. What is your gut telling you? Are they going to draft the next potential franchise quarterback at number 15 or move up?
I mean, they've been heavily invested in the quarterbacks in this draft for this entire offseason. And I obviously saw several of those guys up close and personal at their pro days, including Justin Fields. The question for me is, how willing are they to dip into next year's draft and part with potentially another first round pick to move up? And, I know people have put out the idea, well, you might be able to go up from 15 to 8 or 9 without surrendering another first. I don't, I don't believe that to be true. And usually when it comes to quarterbacks, that's not the case. Now, maybe because of the odd year and because teams are wanting to, some teams are wanting to get out of this draft because of the lack of intel and lack of medical information thanks to COVID. Maybe that happens, but I just find it hard to believe that they'll do that. I think Bill would be more than happy to end up with Jimmy Garoppolo out of all this than he would be to trade some of next year's draft to move up in this year's draft. But again, that's more based on, well, I mean, the Garoppolo stuff is based on information. The draft stuff is more based on past history with them.
Mike, you just touched on it there, but I know Jimmy Garoppolo is a player near and dear to your heart. Do you expect him to get moved here over the next few days?
So I'm a firm believer that San Francisco knew they wanted Mac Jones when they traded up to three, and that maybe some of their scouting department has opened up and tried to push Kyle Shanahan more towards Trey Lance in the process here in the weeks leading up to this. But I think at the end of the day, Kyle's the one making the decisions there, and I think that I would be very surprised if Mac's not the pick at three. And I think if Mac's the pick at three, I think Jimmy's for sale. I don't think there's any question, because I think everything we've heard about Mac is that he's, you know, he's got the supercomputer for a brain. Actually, so does Lance for that matter, but Lance just doesn't have nearly the experience in terms of, you know, big games, and obviously basically didn't play this past year because of COVID. So, you know, I just think Mac is ready to go, and I would be very surprised if he walked in there and didn't pick up that playbook in a heartbeat.
Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote, Explore, only at Progressive.com. Mike Giardi from the NFL Network joining us here on the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. Mike, we all know what the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing at number one. Jets, Zach Wilson most likely there too. You mentioned the 49ers. What are the Atlanta Falcons going to do at number four?
So I think there's an interesting push and pull there, because I think if you take the long view, if you're Atlanta, you say, well, we don't plan to be here again. We don't plan to be picking at four. And, you know, we think we have a decent team in place right now. So, you know, do you just take the quarterback and let him sit behind Matt Ryan? Or do you say, you know, Kyle Pitts might be a, you know, once in a decade type player, and that's just something that will make that offense, you know, which has been a top 10 offense for years, maybe a top 5 offense, and maybe all of a sudden, you know, you're winning some of these close games that you've lost in years past. I think it'd be hard to pass up Pitts. I think he's that good, and I think Matt's still playing at a decent level. You know, he's not the best quarterback in the league. He might not be top five, but I think he's someone you can win with, and I think you saw that a couple years ago when they ended up, you know, in the Super Bowl and up 28-3 before it went to hell.
Mike, is there a quarterback, and obviously we've talked about these five quarterbacks throughout this draft process, but is there one now as things are starting to come together a little bit that you think could potentially fall down the board here a little further than maybe we're expecting?
You know, there's been so much noise about Fields that, you know, I've been trying to decipher what's real and what's you know, smokescreen. Our team's talking him down because they want him to slide a little bit and convince some of those teams maybe in the top 10 that he's not the guy. And, you know, let me just say this for the record. If any of those teams buy that over their own intel, then they're idiots. You know, if they agree with that intel and they want to get out, then good for them. You know, well played. But otherwise, like, you know, you do your own work. You know, it's kind of funny this time of year how many people are calling around trying to figure out what other teams are doing. And then, you know, to me, the best organizations, yeah, they're out there trying to find the intel about other teams and what they're going to do. But the most important thing is their own intel and their own scouting and their own process. So, you know, what actually is kind of funny to me is that Kyle Trask is someone who seemed to have risen. You know, you're talking about guys falling. Trask was someone, I think, in December, because of the heavy feet and sort of he's got a big butt, like he's just not that mobile. People are like, he's a third, fourth round guy. And now you're kind of hearing he could be mid-second. And I know the Patriots have spent some time with him and are intrigued by some of the things that he does. His accuracy is spot on, so he's someone to watch. And the kid from Stanford, who played all of 11 games, but, you know, he was a five-star recruit. He's had a bunch of different knee surgeries, but he tested really well the pro day. And he's another one of those guys. It's very interesting in this draft, all these quarterbacks, the brains that they're talking about on a lot of these guys are pretty impressive. And I think that's, you know, something that could be very attractive to some team, either at the bottom of the first or in that early second, saying, you know, like this guy's got the brain and he has the lineage, you know, from his high school days to be, you know, sort of an elite talent. Get him into our system. We don't have to play him right away, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, Mike Giardi, you mentioned earlier talking about, you know, the lack of knowledge that some of these scouts, GMs, people picking these players, if you will, these teams have because of COVID, not having the ability to see a lot of these players in person. Do the people picking these guys this year, do they get a pass a little bit because it's just such a unique year?
They'll probably campaign for it if it goes wrong for a pass on it.
Sure.
But I don't think fan bases will be too forgiving in that regard, you know. So, but it is, it's odd. I mean, you've seen a bunch of different things over the last week. The medical stuff has been very hard to come by. And there were half dozen to a dozen players who passed up imaging at the quote unquote combine, which was basically a medical check in Indianapolis this year, because there was no football part of it. And you're saying, well, what's the deal? You know, what's wrong with you? What are you trying to hide? And I think you're going to be surprised. I think they're definitely going to be, you know, probably four or five guys that we looked at and said, oh, that's a first round guy or that's a second round guy. And, you know, on day three, they're still sitting there in the fourth round. And, you know, people will say, what is it? It's going to be medicals. Medicals are going to be a big part of this.
We've already had some trades, teams trading up into the top 10. Do you expect more coming tomorrow? Obviously, there's a lot of smoke around the Patriots and some other teams. Do you expect a draft day deal to get done?
I think it really comes down to the quarterbacks and how they fall. You know, if somebody starts to slip a Fields or a Trey Lance, then I could see some team. You know, Washington has definitely been very invested in Lance and seems to like Lance. And obviously, they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, so it's a nice little situation. Fitz just did his thing with Tua in Miami. You know, he's someone who's going to be a pro. He's going to help the kid, and that might make some sense if the guy starts to slide and then the price isn't too outrageous. Yeah, I could totally see a few teams moving up. I know there's been some buzz, including from our guy Ian Rappaport, that, well, there might not be as many trades. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, because I think teams start to fall in love with certain guys, and when they start to slip a little bit, it's like, just go get them. You know, just do it, and we'll worry about it. You know, we'll worry about what we've done in next year's draft next year.
Hey, Mike, final question here. Denver Broncos at number 9. Obviously, they have Drew Lock. Can you see them possibly going after a quarterback and maybe severing ties with Mr. Lock?
Yeah, you know, I think that's an interesting one to watch, too. Definitely a spot where I've circled quarterback. And they apparently like both Lance and Fields. So, you know, if one of those guys is there, I'd be surprised if they didn't make the move. I think the interesting thing there, though, and to sort of look at is, even though John Elway is no longer the GM, he's still in the front office and he still Sure. wields a lot of influence there. And from what I understand, he's a Lock guy. So there might be a little push and pull there with the new GM and Elway if one of those quarterbacks slides at 9 and then, you know, the guy says, I want to pick him. And Elway says, well, what about Lock? You know, I think that'll be interesting. But if they do pick a quarterback there, I expect the Lock to be moved. And Teddy Bridgewater will probably find his way to Denver. They've already had some conversations, you know, a month ago about that. And I could see that totally being, you know, slide Teddy in there and, again, sort of let the young player develop behind a veteran quarterback.
Over, under on the next 3 days, 10 hours on how much sleep you're going to get.
it's forget it. It's not even, I'm hoping for a few hours here and a few hours there is the plan. If I get any more than that, then it's a miracle.
Hey, Mike, keep up the good work, buddy. We really appreciate the time, and we'll be watching you, okay, pal?
Anytime, man.
All right, there he is, the great Mike Giardi from the NFL Network, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Take a quick tee on. It's funny because, again, when you're talking about, you know, these quarterbacks, Tim, and obviously we know the Jaguars are 1, Jets 2, 49ers 3, Falcons possibility 4. Cincinnati, we know they're not going to take a quarterback. Yep. Miami most likely not. Detroit's at 7. Carolina just got Sam Darnold. So, but then you have number 9, Denver Broncos, and then 10, Dallas. So, I mean, what are you looking at? 5, 6 quarterbacks in the first top 10 picks?
It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And you know what's wild, too? And, you know, there have been some people talking about it. But generally, when you look at first-round quarterbacks, half are going to wind up being pretty good, and half are going to be complete busts. Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see there, too.
Let's take a break. When we return, the Beantown Rundown comes up next. You're locked into the diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hanging out with NBC 10 Boston. Get that right? M&T Sports, M&T 10. I don't know what the hell you work for.
It doesn't matter.
You work for 98.5 The Sports Hub, yeah. And you're going to be my pool guy this summer. It's going to be great. Tim McComb. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for their lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after a mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's always great to catch up with Mike Giardi again. He's one of the guys back in the day when we did the original Diehards with Ryan Russillo and John Anik in like 2003. Mike Giardi was like a regular guest, you know, and obviously a local guy from New England.
Yep.
We'd have him on all the time, and then recently, he's kind of been big-leaguing me like you do. Just, you know, hey, can you join me? And then finally I said, hey, man, I don't mean to be a pest, but we're pals. And he, of course, he got right back to me. He goes, all right, fine. But he's a busy guy.
Well, and there's nobody that's more plugged into the Patriots organization than Giardi. Yeah. So, you know, if someone's going to figure out what this team's going to do, it's going to be him. Because, like I said, he is definitely plugged in New England. And there aren't a lot of people that are.
Are you feeling confident that when you're down there for NBC 10 Boston that you're going to have breaking news? You feeling good about it?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to stay at 15. I do worry that they're going to trade back.
Right.
I would love if they drafted a quarterback. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't expect it. It's one of those things where you don't build your hopes up because you really don't want to get your heart ripped out, and I'm very nervous that that's what's going to happen.
And with the 15th pick, the New England Patriots have traded down to number 27.
Or they're going to take a right guard from Fresno State and be like, yeah, you know what?
That kid from Boise State, the left tackle's awesome.
Yeah, he was projected to go in the fourth, but we thought it was good value anyways. So.
Hey, man, question number one, Beantown Rundown. What will TB12 and the Bucks do in this this draft? And part two to that question, do you feel confident that they're going to go back-to-back and win the ship? Question two. Why does the Celts team stink really bad again? Every time I should just probably not put them on in the studio when we're doing the show. They're losing again right now to OKC, and they just absolutely stink. In your opinion, why does this team stink? Because I know you love hoops. Question three, do you watch the Kentucky Derby? Do you bet on the Kentucky Derby? It is coming up. Known Agenda is the favorite at 6-1. Overall thoughts on the Derby. Question four, what will your Pats do? And we know what you want them to do. You want them to draft a quarterback. But, you know, you've been doing this a long time. What do you really feel like they're going to do? You know the history of this team. You know what Bill Belichick and his history is. What do you think they're going to do? And then question five, how much baseball are you watching? We do have the Sox on here playing the Mets. It's 1-1. I'm watching a ton of baseball. I'm loving it. Obviously, the Padres-Dodgers series was special. It's a preview, we hope, of postseason to come. How much baseball are you investing your time in? Because, again, you just sit at home and watch movies and Netflix by yourself. So I'm curious how much baseball you're watching. All right, let's get back to it. TB12 in the Bucs. What are they doing in this draft? Do they need to do anything, and are they going back-to-back?
I wonder if they go quarterback here, honestly.
All right.
And bring in a guy that potentially could sit behind Brady for a couple of years and then transition. And a couple I use loosely because we all know Brady's going to play until he's 50.
Of course.
In terms of their ceiling for this upcoming year, look, I'm going to sound like a Brady honk because I am. I think 19-0, or what is it going to be, 20-0 on the table now since they're going to have the extra game this year. I think an undefeated season could potentially happen when you look at the schedule that they're going to have. They're going to be locked in. If they can stay healthy, I think they could make a real run at it, and I do think that they are the prohibitive favorite coming into this season.
Man, you love that guy, don't you?
The best. The best!
Well, we know the team that's not the best.
No.
The green team, they stink. I mean, you're watching this. You're a big hoop guy. You're a big basketball guy. What's wrong with them?
I'll tell you what. There's a weird mix in that locker room. There's no question about it. They don't have an effective bench. You thought Fournier was going to give them something there. But they're also taking on a team that came into tonight that has lost 14 in a row. And I know that Tatum and Kemba aren't playing tonight. But still, again, they've lost 14 in a row.
How many?
So it shouldn't be an issue for the Celtics tonight. And obviously it is. What really stinks about this, too, is that
Brad Stevens is never on the hot seat.
Yeah, they're going to play themselves into that play-in tournament there, and that's going to be bad news. This season is not going to end well for the Celtics. And for a guy that thought that Kyrie Irving was the issue a couple years ago, this season feels a lot like that one did, too, when they underachieved with Kyrie.
The greatest 2 minutes in sports. Question three, Beantown Rundown with the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. Do you watch the Kentucky Derby? Do you love it? Do you bet on it? Again, this year's favorite, Known Agenda 6-1, is the guy that everyone's looking at. How big are you on the Derby?
I love it. I watch it every year exclusively on NBC10, as everyone in the market
should. You put one of those big hats on
well.
And drink mint juleps?
Yes. No, I'm a big Derby guy. I've never been. That's one of my, I would say, top three bucket list events that I want to go to.
Yep. Yeah. I'm a big Derby guy, too, and I usually know a little bit more. I actually, something came across Twitter today, and I'm looking, oh, here's the field. I haven't even really looked at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Normally, I'm like kind of studying a little, like looking at a 20-1 horse to say, hey, let me put a little money on it.
Yeah.
Get some action going. But and I will wager on the Derby. I absolutely love it. I DVR it every year, and then I watch it, you know, like, you know, obviously it's usually like 6 o'clock or like 5 or 6 on the East Coast time, so I'm usually out, you know, raking leaves or something. But I'll DVR it and come in and watch it, and it's to me, it's second to none. It's awesome.
It's great.
Hey, man, Pats, I know what you want them to do. You want them to draft a quarterback. What's your gut telling you? What do you think they're going to do? Because to me, it's the typical Bill Belichick, the excitement level, and then he just says, hey, you know what? Keep the camera on me. I'm quick. Yep, I'm trading down. Or you know, again, like you mentioned, offensive guard from Fresno State. You're going, what the hell is he doing?
100%. So I honestly, what I think is going to happen is I think they're ultimately going to wind up trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think that they're going to go defense with that first pick.
And with San Francisco moving up, we know that there's no leverage with San Francisco trading Jimmy Garoppolo. We know John Lynch and the organization came out and said that, hey, you know what, he's our guy, and we're going to draft a quarterback, and we're going to see what we have. But all these GMs, including the Patriots, know that they don't have to give up much.
We don't have to give up much. He's got a no-trade clause, so if he wants to force his way to New England, he can do that as well.
Do you think he wants to play here?
I do think he would definitely come back. Now, that wasn't the case going into free agency when there were zero weapons on this roster, but I think coming back to New England, where he was successful in, what, a quarter and a half when he actually played before he got hurt? Which has continued to be, it was a great quarter. It was a great game and a half, though. But, I think he would want to come back. Obviously, Belichick loves him. I expect that to be the move. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to wind up drafting a quarterback. Which, by the way, means they're 100% going to trade up and go grab that quarterback, now that I said that.
I want nothing to do with Jimmy G. Again, you mentioned the quarter and a half he played here. Where did he start? 4 games before San Francisco opened up the wallet and gave him a ridiculous contract? I'm going, it's not a big enough sample. Again, he grew up in this system. We get it. And we know he has skills, and we saw that. But it's just, I haven't seen a big enough sample where, now the guy's been hurt so much, why do you want to go all in on this guy? I don't get it.
I'm with you, but I'll tell you what. Talking with one of my coworkers at 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, the former backup for the Patriots, plugged into that organization.
He knows his stuff.
He thinks it's going to be Garoppolo. He thinks Garoppolo's the guy, and they're going to go defense because Bill, for as poor of a drafter as he's been recently, generally does not miss on those first-round defensive picks. That's his specialty, and I think I expect them to go with that in the first round.
Next time you talk to Zoe, by the way, can you ask him what the hell he's doing on social media when he's dancing like around his pool? Like, is he drunk? Like, what is his deal?
Yeah, generally, I would just go with yes. If you have to ask that question with him, yeah, I think that's generally the standard.
And again, if you want some pure entertainment, follow on social media and all platforms, Scott Zolak. The latest one I saw with him dancing around the pool with the dog, and
the best.
I mean, he's got some screws loose.
Just a few.
That's probably why you like him so much.
I do. That's my guy.
Hey, man, how much baseball are you watching? How much time are you investing in the old pastime?
I've been watching a lot of Sox, and I'll tell you what a difference it is from last year. Not only are they actually winning games, but this is an exciting team for a team that didn't have an exciting offseason, and I'm with you. I don't know how you couldn't watch that Dodgers-Padres series. Felt a lot like kind of those early 2000s Red Sox-Yankees when there was real hatred, real drama, and you were kind of invested.
And great baseball.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's missing from Major League Baseball. Those storylines, the Yankees and Red Sox certainly don't have that rivalry anymore. Mm-hmm. Then one of the big things that I want to fix with the sport is just the offseason that those guys have. Because unlike the NBA and NFL, where free agents are visiting and flying off the board right at the start, free agency, they're out there for months, and it just kind of kills any buzz or any storylines going into the year. So it's good to see that they at least have that with the Dodgers and Padres.
And again, I love Trevor Bauer coming out and saying, hey, you know what? I don't have a problem with these guys celebrating 100% home runs. You know what I mean? Let them celebrate. They hit a home run, let them dance around. We talked about Zolak dancing.
Yeah.
Let these kids, they are kids.
100%.
In their 20s, low 20s, let them dance if they hit a home run. Who cares?
So with you on that.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, we'll get back to the NFL from Learfield, IMG, friend of the show, Scott Mutrin, is on with the Diehards next year on the Progressive Guest Line. He's Tim McCone. I'm Anthony Pepe. Keep it right here. It's the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hanging out with Tim McCone, NBC 10 Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. He's my friend tonight. My friends are also from Mamita's. It's a hard seltzer with real tequila, sparkling water, and natural flavors. It's only 95 calories with a 5% ABV. Flavors include lime, mango, paloma, and pineapple. Mamita's keeps a light and refreshing taste while staying authentic to the iconic tequila cocktails that inspired bartenders for decades. Ask for them today at your local retailer or favorite watering hole. For more information, check them out at drinkmamitas.com. That's drinkmamitas.com. Or follow on Twitter and Instagram at Drink Mamitas, hashtag Mucho Delicious. Let's get back to it. The Progressive Guest Line is cooking. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Good friend of the show from Learfield IMG. Does a lot at the Heights Boston College. Mr. Scott Mutrin. Say hello to Tim McCone. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Tim? What's up, Pep? How you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there, man. I mean, we're all fired up. I think everybody is fired up for this year's draft. And I'm just curious, Mute, again, we talked about it on the program before, and Tim's a big Tom Brady guy, so he has you to thank for freeing up that roster spot in 2000 with the Patriots. We talked about that before, and again, we do appreciate that. But what's going on in these kids' heads on Wednesday night? Kids that, you know they're going to be drafted but not quite sure where they're going to be, or maybe the kids that aren't sure they're even going to make the board and get drafted. What's going on with these kids right now?
The anticipation and nervous energy is absolutely off the charts. I think there's not going to be a lot of sleep.
Yep.
You know, the first rounders, they're more of concern about when they're going to get picked in the first round. The other guys are just hoping to get their name called in day two or three. And it's an exciting time. It's a crazy time. And it's really nerve-wracking. A lot of guys handle it differently. Some guys will go fishing, some guys will go hunting, some guys will watch every single pick. It's funny listening to the difference in them, but excited that it's going to be in my hometown. I actually had a chance to go, but I couldn't do it, so I'm really bummed out that I didn't get the opportunity to go because I really would have liked it.
Hey, Scott, obviously the storyline coming into this draft is the quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round. What quarterbacks kind of stand out to you in this group?
Well, Lawrence is head and shoulders above everybody. I mean, as the problem with is all this has gone down. They've seen all the different pro days. They've analyzed, overanalyzed again. He's head and shoulders above everybody, I think. And the other guys have gotten a lot more pub later as it's gone on because Lawrence was the most, the earliest workout, and he hasn't, you know, he had surgery on his shoulder, so he hasn't been front and center. But he's the guy to me that sticks out. But the talk of what's going to happen here with the other guys in these next couple picks and with San Francisco moving up, that really has kind of turned this into we got to wait to see what happens with these first three picks. And depending on what happens with pick three, it could be a big telltale sign as to who's going to be moving up and or back in the draft after the third pick, I think.
Hey, man, you've talked about it numerous times on the program about Trevor Lawrence, and you just said it again. He's shoulders above everybody else. Is Urban Meyer the right guy for him, a rookie with his caliber coming into the league, and you've got a coach that, you know, obviously hasn't proven himself in the National Football League. He's a great coach. We all know that the track record and resume. But is Urban Meyer the right guy for this kid?
I think it actually helps to have a guy like Urban Meyer for Trevor Lawrence. The system he played in college. The system he played in college is conducive to kind of what Urban Meyer has run. I think he'll try to use some of his skill sets and really kind of exploit that in his system. Trevor Lawrence is a very good athlete, doesn't get as much credit as he deserves, but, you know, in the last two seasons of playoffs, he's really done a nice job with his feet, and he's a pretty dangerous weapon running the ball. But I do think that it's a good match. I don't think he's going to overwhelm him with scheme. like if Trevor Lawrence came to the Patriots, that's a whole different system than what he's used to running. And I think his ability to go to a system like Urban Meyer, he'll make it a little more sophisticated, but he'll definitely have him in a comfort zone that'll be similar to what he ran in college.
You know, you go through the history of the draft, really the last 20 years, or probably going back even further, but essentially half of these quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, are going to wind up being busts. So when you kind of look at the transition right. from college to the pros, what do you think ultimately is the trait that kind of gives you a clue into who's going to be successful and who isn't?
That's a great question, because I think a lot of it gets the stuff that gets lost is people get overwhelmed with the physical talent of some of these guys in their pro days. And I think the thing that matters the most is going into a system or a coaching staff that's going to be able to utilize your talents and to kind of build that offense around what you do best and not try to make the quarterback fit the system that they have. So I think that's something you have to look at with these top teams is when they grab a guy is, are they going to try to change them to fit what they do, or are they going to bring out the best in the skill set that these guys have? And they're all unique in the things that they can do. So I think that's a big one. And then I think the other one, when you go physically, is accuracy. I think accuracy, Josh Allen has kind of broken the mold with people because they said you're not going to be able to become more accurate once you've gotten into the pros. But, you know, Josh Allen has proved that he can. And I think a lot of people made bank on that. I think accuracy is one. And then I also think, you know, mental makeup is a big thing. How do they handle adversity? What are the things that they've dealt with? How do they respond when things go well in the locker room? Are they guys that like to call out their receivers and their linemen, or are they guys that are going to stand up and have some accountability and win that locker room and win the respect of guys? Because in the end, the most important quality and trait of the quarterback is the physical stuff is nice, but the thing that matters the most is getting those other guys in the locker room to believe that no matter what happens, you're the guy that's going to help them win, because that's all they really want to do. They want to win Super Bowls, and they want to get there. So I think for that, those are kind of the big things that I would look at for when I'm taking a quarterback is who do I want there, and do they possess those skills? Are they accurate? Are they great leaders? Are they good, you know, are they good teammates? And do they bring a certain, like people like to call it that it factor. I like to call it that belief factor, where the guys in the locker room believe that these guys are going to help them win. And that's the biggest quality that a successful quarterback can have.
And you have to take that one step further, you know, do you build that around the quarterback and you build your offense? Just ask John Harbaugh for Baltimore. Yeah, you do. You build it around Lamar Jackson, and it worked out pretty well for them, didn't it?
Right, and the great thing that the Ravens did was they didn't try to make Lamar Jackson into Drew Brees or Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady. That's just not what he is. And their ability to recognize his skill set and build around that. And they still need to do a better job of building around his skill set with some of the personnel around it. But that's what being a great coach is. If you're one of the 32 best coaches of football in the entire world, you have to be able to identify the talent on your team and use it to the best of your ability to help you win. And that's a credit to what John Harbaugh has done with Lamar Jackson and what Andy Reid's done with Patrick Mahomes.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance or Progressive's new home quote, Explore, only at Progressive.com. From Learfield, IMG, friend of the show, Scott Mutrin, on the Progressive guest line with the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. Mute, again, Tim asked you about, you know, getting back to the history of the draft 20 years ago. Getting back to the history of drafting quarterbacks in the NFL for forever, with the exception of like the last 3, 4, 5 years, these guys got drafted and they sat for a couple years. There was the veteran quarterback that teach these young kids. Nowadays, these kids are coming in and they are playing. If you are one of these top five or top six teams in the top 10 that are picking a quarterback, is it safe to say they have to throw these guys in there right away?
Yeah, I think with the salary cap and the rookie scale as to what there is now, you build your team. If you find a great young quarterback, you build around the young quarterback by putting expensive players in other positions early in his career. So you're able to take some of the program with the quarterback by surrounding him, whether it's like the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson with the Legion of Boom, or you surround him with great offensive personnel like the Chiefs have done with Mahomes early before he signed his massive extension. So I think that that's what you want to do. You look at what the Packers taking Jordan Love, and he sits for a year, and now they're committed to Rodgers for at least 2 years, barring an injury, maybe three. You look at that, and you're like, well, now I have no bargaining power with Jordan Love. I'm not going to play him because I have an MVP guy, so why am I going to play this guy, right? So then you lose the value of having that because you want to win now with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't want to call it a wasted pick. It's just it's different now than when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, that they were able to stash him for a while behind Brett Favre and learn from that. So it's just different now. You want young quarterbacks to play. The game has gotten much different. They've definitely employed some more college concepts in the NFL now that have allowed quarterbacks to come in and be more productive earlier in their career. So I really think if you're going to draft a guy, you're going to play him. And that's why when you look at San Francisco in three, when you move up to three, and you're, you know, from all signs, taking a quarterback, I don't understand how you say that you're gonna put a guy like Trey Lance, who's a year away, playing when you do that. Like, to move up, you're grabbing a quarterback for sure, and there's no point in having a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo on your team because you're gonna play the young guy. So he's not gonna be there. They're gonna take a quarterback, and he's gonna play right away there. And I really think that's the model in which you do now. If you're going to start a young guy, you surround him and overpay other positions, whether it's on offense or defense, to allow your team to be successful early in his rookie contract.
Hey, Mute, if you were a GM and you were picking these quarterbacks and you had your pick of all of them, is there one you would stay away from?
Yeah, I think Trey Lance is a guy I stay away from. Because he kind of, I mean, from everything I've heard, he's an outstanding young man, but he's very young. He's 20 years old, right? He didn't play at all last year. He played one game. He's only started the season at North Dakota. He has not proved to be very accurate throwing the football. And that's versus inferior competition, right? So kind of going back to the things I look at that and I say, those are massive warning signs for me. Yeah, he may have the it factor that his teammates believe in him, but he lacks in some of the things that are important for a quarterback to have coming right away. I think that worries me, because you see a guy that hasn't been accurate in college and hasn't played in a year, to move up to take a guy like that early, and to put him under that pressure, I think he can break pretty quickly.
And finally, Mute, again, here in New England in your backyard, again, let's say the draft starts and we're an hour and a half into it at the 15th pick. Are Patriots fans going to be happy or disgusted with their pick?
They're going to be disgusted because they want a quarterback. The Patriots, the fact that you're hearing more and more about the Patriots moving up to grab a guy just leads me to believe that they're either going to take like a lineman, yeah, an offensive or defensive, yep, lineman there, or they're going to move
Division
back.
Two player.
And they're going to move back. Yeah, they're going to move back. But the more and more you hear about them making a move for a quarterback, the less and less I believe it. So I really think that they're probably trying to put out some smoke to get to see other people's hands and to see what happens. Now, if you get to 15 and you say that Fields is there, or maybe even Mac Jones is there, if the Niners choose to go another way, then maybe I can see it. But I still don't think they're taking a quarterback with their first round pick. I really just don't see it happening. It just doesn't fit what they're doing. I firmly expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be wearing a Patriots jersey, and I expect them to probably make a deal for Julio Jones because that would really fit. It won't cost much to get Julio. It's not going to cost much to get Jimmy Garoppolo. Atlanta's in salary cap hell. Those are two moves that make sense and kind of fit with the moves that they've made free agency wise. It doesn't make sense with where they're at right now for them to bring in a new young quarterback with kind of the nucleus in which they have there. So the Patriots fans are going to hate what they do. Without a doubt, they're going to be pissed.
Hey, man, great stuff as always. And by the way, it was April vacation. Rumor has it you were down at spring break partying. Is that correct?
I was you know, I was doing some beer bongs down in Fort Lauderdale. Down there, hanging out. Now, yeah, I was enjoying the nice weather. I was sorry to miss you. I was actually having a nice dinner down in Florida. It's a beautiful spot. It was great to be down there and feel normal. I think we're getting close to there right now. So it was a nice trip away. It was a nice trip away. Although my boys are getting better at golf, so I need to put in some serious range time because I'm starting to embarrass myself.
There you go. Get back on the range, man. Hey, we'll talk to you next week recapping the draft. Appreciate it, Mute, as always.
Absolutely, boys. Nice talking to you.
There he is from Learfield IMG, Scott Mutual. We'll take our final break of the hour. Come back and tell you about our friends at Rocket Mortgage and tell you about hour number two coming up next. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Last hour, the Diehards presented by Rocket Mortgage. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket Cam. All right, hour number two coming up next. We've got the sports professor himself, Rick Horrell. We'll get his take on the sponsorships of the Kentucky Derby. I hear Mr. Trevor Lawrence signed a deal with Gatorade. We'll get into all of that stuff with the sports professor coming up in hour number two. We'll also do more NFL draft. Longtime friend of the show from Yahoo Sports. He's an NFL draft expert. Eric Edholm will hop on the Progressive Guest Line in hour number two, so you keep it right here. He is Tim McCone from NBC 10 Boston. And also 98.5, the sports hub, and my new pool guy this summer. I'm Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.